We're getting ready for Yom Kippur, and one of the things that we never seem to get to are the things at the end. You know, it's like Nitzavim Vayelech never gets as much play, because when it's Nitzavim Vayelech, everybody starts in Nitzavim, right? Matot Masay. Who talks about Masay when it's Matot Asay, right? So I thought it'd be good maybe to talk about Sefer Yonah. Sefer Yonah is the longest Haftorah of the year. It is read during Mincha, right before Ne'ilah. Right before Shemoneh Esrei Mincha. And one wonders why this Haftorah was chosen. So I want to share with you an idea that I heard a long time ago. He actually wrote it up as an article by Baruch Sturman, who I assume you know, Mr. Tchelas. This has nothing to do with Tchelas, although of course everything has to do with Tchelas. So if you're curious and you'd like to see this article, send me a WhatsApp and I'll find it for you. Sefer Yonah is a bizarre sefer. It's interesting that it's included in the Tanakh. And it's doubly interesting that it's the Haftorah, it's the prophetic portion that we read specifically on Yom Kippur. Now, what is the most obvious anomaly about reading a book from the Tanakh, from the prophets of Sefer Yonah? What's missing from Sefer Yonah?
Hashem
is in Sefer Yonah. What do you mean? Jews. There's no Jews except for Yonah. The whole story of the book of Yonah is all about non-Jews. Hashem comes to Yonah and he says to him, we got a problem. They're sinners. We got to fix them. Who's he talking about? He's not talking about the Jews. He's talking about the Assyrians. The Assyrians in Nineveh are chotim. They're doing terrible things, idolaters, whatever. Since when does it bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the idolaters are sinning? They're idolaters. That's what they do. They idol it, right? So, you get rid of them. That's what we do, right? We killed the seven Canaanite nations because they were idolatrous. So he says to Yonah, no. Go to Nineveh and get the goyim to do tshuva. Get the non-Jews, the idolaters, to repent, to change their ways. Now you're a prophet. God comes and he tells you to do something. What do? You do it. God says jump. You see how high? Yonah, he doesn't like this mission. So he says no. He can't say no to God. Right? So what do you do if you don't want to say no to God? You run away. Now you realize how ridiculous that is. If there's anyone in the world who should know you can't run away from Hashem, it's Yonah. So what's that all about? Okay? No. We're going to roll for a bit. Okay? What's that all about? Yonah runs away. And where does he run away? He runs away to Yafo. Okay? When people do bad things, they always go to Tel Aviv, right? That's just how it is, right? He runs away to Yafo. Tel Aviv didn't exist yet, but he runs away to Yafo. And he gets on a boat. And who's on the boat? Sailors. And all the sailors, again, are non-Jews. And we're going to see the non-Jews are doing tshuva. They're calling out. The whole thing is strange. Why, on Yom Kippur, are we reading a book about non-Jews? Okay? Now look carefully at the book of Yonah. We're not going to go through all the psukim, although I think that it's a great thing to do. If you want something to do, like, you know, sort of in between tefillot, or you're struggling, or you want something to read, it's as simple as opening up your Machzor Yonah. Go through Sefer Yonah, come up with all the questions you come up with. There's so much to talk about here. So, Vayhi Dvar Hashem El Yonah. By the way, the verb Vayhi, which literally means and it came to be, is always a problem. Okay, the Medrash says, whenever you find the word Vayhi, bad things are coming. What famous line do I find very often in the Tanakh? It starts with the word Vayhi, Vayhi.
Or?
Vayhi Rav Baretz. That's a good question. Vayhi Rav Baretz. There are 10 famines in all of Tanakh. Every one starts with the word Vayhi. Sometimes you see a Hi Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh. Sometimes you see a Vayhi like Vayhi Omer Elohim Yor or Vayhi Or. Is that good? Is that bad? Right? But there's always a problem coming with Vayhi. Now, there's no dialogue here. Hashem says, go to Nineveh because they've become evil and it's come before me. What does this remind you of? A wicked city. God's going to destroy it if they don't stump. So look at Avram and look at Yonah. I think we should read the story of Avram and Stom on Yom Kippur. There's no dialogue. Not Vayomer Yonah El Hashem, Lama harayota, like nothing, right? Vayakam Yonah livroach Tarshisha. Lest you think that Yonah's not running away, he's just, I don't know, he took the wrong car. The Tanakh makes the point of saying, hu boreach, he's escaping, okay? Vayered Yafo, vayimtzor niyah bar Tarshish, vayitain tzchara, vayered ba. Now the word vayered, or vayered, is not an accident. That word is a very powerful word. I'll just give you one example, but there are many.
Yaakov.
Pardon?
Yaakov.
Close.
Shem.
Not so close.
That's Luke.
Yehuda.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Right after the selling, right after the selling of Joseph. Okay, who was arguably the protagonist in the story of the selling of Joseph? Yehuda. Yehuda is the one who says, "Ma betza b'damo, how we profit from his blood, let's sell him." When the story's over, Yosef is gone, they go back to Yaakov, they show him the ketonet, they show him the technicolor coat, Yaakov is in mourning, he cannot be comforted. The next pasuk, the next story is, Vayered Yehuda me'etachav. Yehuda goes down. It's actually the first intermarriage described in the Torah, in Judaism, in Jewish history. He meets a Canaanite girl, the daughter of Adulam, and he marries her, and he has sons, right? He names the first one Heir, okay, he names the second one Onan, and the third Shela. All of those three words are forms of curses, right? Ar, right, is a curse. You name your first one curse. Onan is Ani Ana Aniva. Okay, that's what Reuven says. Wherefore am I? Where am I is the second one's name. It's also a form of curse, right? Because Yehuda doesn't know where he is. And the third one, Shal, is also bereft, right? Oh, cursed one, can you call your brother bereft and tell him to come over here? It's strange names for your kids. Because if you could do something that, you're going down. Yonah is going down. He goes down to Yafo, okay? And in Yafo, he goes down into the boat. Now, we know there's a big storm, okay? And when there's a big storm, right? This is an interesting topic, actually, in and of itself. The tshuva of the sailors. You know, if you look carefully in Tanakh, I don't remember where. I saw an article about this once, but I don't want to misquote. Non-Jewish tshuva versus Jewish tshuva. You know what the big difference in the Tanakh between non-Jewish tshuva and Jewish tshuva is? Very interesting. Non-Jewish tshuva is much quicker. It's much quicker. There's a storm, they figure it out. What do you do if there's a storm? What does the pasuk say, right? V'Hashem etil ruach gdola elayam. So God sends a huge... right, Florence is coming. If you've been reading the news, a big storm. Vayisar gadol bayam, a huge storm. Ve'aniach hishval ishaver, and the boat is getting tossed around. It's going to break. Terrifying. You know, we just read this pasuk. We don't understand. You ever see the movie A Perfect Storm? No, amazing movie. Right, all clean, all naki. Right, true story about a boat that was going out and fishing, and they were doing one more run, and they got trapped in the eye of a perfect storm, terrible typhoon or hurricane, tornado, I don't know, whatever it is on the water, and they were destroyed, and all the men were lost at sea. It was a terrible tragedy in America and the Bostonian shipping community, whatever it is, right? It's terrifying. It must be absolutely terrifying to be in a boat, and back then nobody even knows you're in the boat. There's no radio, so it's terrifying. Vayiru amalachim, vayiru yud yud. They were terrified, right? Yira. Vayizaku ish el elohav. The Medrash says, kol ish al diglo. Every one of them had a little idol. You know, you have your big idol in the temple at home. You go on the road, you got to have a palm idol, you know, an eye idol, right? They had an eye idol 6, right? So you pull out your idol, I pull out my idol. That's ridiculous. Think about this. Everybody calls out to his God. Now, if everybody's calling out to his God, right, most of them have to be wrong, because there is one God and not the other God. So why does everybody call out to his God? Right? They made a God pool. Right? Let's hedge our bets. Everybody call out to you. You're a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I don't know who's right. So you know, you do the Muslim thing, you do the Christian thing, I'll do the Jewish thing. Somebody's going to listen. The stats are better, right? Okay? So they have a God pool. They're not stupid. They don't only do that. They throw everything extra overboard so they won't sink. What does Yonah do? Now, you're on a boat in a storm. Has anybody here ever been sailing?
Yes.
Okay, if you ever go sailing, the worst place to be is in the belly of the boat. That's where you get sick. Okay? When my parents had their 25th anniversary, So we wanted to surprise them. None of us were married yet, right? So we rented like a boat, like a, you know, sailboat in the Herzliya Marina. And we surprised my parents. And we took them out for a three-hour sail. And we made them like hors d'oeuvres. And, you know, my father loves Franks and blankets. And we bought a bottle of champagne. You know, three of us, I was all of, I don't know, 22, 23. Like, it was a big deal, right? Made a big, right? And at one point, I wanted to get the food that we had snuck on board to surprise them. And the bottle of champagne. There was like this little cabin. It was like the size of my desk here. It's not a big thing. The whole boat could fit inside this room, right? And we walked in. I walked in there for a minute just to prepare the food for like a minute. Now, the boat is like sailing. I got so seasick. It was unbelievable. In 60 seconds. Because seasickness, motion sickness, is when your eyes, right? You ever get seasick in a car?
Yeah.
Right? You know, car sick? Being that it's in a car, it's called car sick, right? How do you overcome car sickness? What do? You know what you do? Either close your eyes or you open the window and look outside, because your eye is trying to focus peripherally and frontally at the same time. And that double attempt to focus, you're moving so fast you can't focus, your insides, that's what makes you sick. So if you look at one thing or stop looking at anything, so where's the dumbest place to be? In the belly of the boat. You're in the middle of a storm. So the Medrash says, the Mechilta in Parshas Bo says, right? Lo halach Yona ela le'abed et atzmo. In fact, where is he sailing to? He's sailing to Tarshish. The word Rashash means destruction, right? Yona went on board to commit suicide. Now, he can't commit suicide. He's a Navi. He wants to die. Maybe Yona actually, as a Navi, knows that when he does this, there's going to be a storm, and he's quite happy with that. Why?
What do you mean he can't commit suicide because he's a Navi?
Well, he knows you don't commit suicide. It's Usher to commit suicide. What's the question?
Because he's a Navi, he's on the God. There's also Usher, like,
he's on a higher level.
There's also Usher, like, run from the word of God. Like,
is it?
Like,
can you run from God?
Direct,
isn't God everywhere?
No, but he's not doing what God says. He's like, going a direct
command. Well, it's from the Torah.
Okay, that's a good question. That's exactly the question of Yonah. That's a problem. But just because a guy isn't fulfilling the mission of God doesn't mean he does everything else. He's not eating treif, right? So Yonah goes to the story. There's something off about this whole story. And it's really interesting to see what happens. Now the Goyim, these sailors, these non-Jewish sailors, they get it. They realize, right? Right? So the captain comes down and he sees Yonah, this Jew, is in the belt. Now, they knew about Jews. The legend of Moshe and the miracles and the battles and King David, they knew about Jews, right? They got a Jew on board. None of their gods are doing the trick. We got a Jew on board. So the captain goes to find the Jew. Malachan Yerdam. He says, do you understand this? Not only is he going in the belly of the boat, he's sleeping. He's sleeping in the middle of Hurricane Harvey. It's ridiculous. He says, what are you going to sleep for? Kum kral elokecha. Call out to your God. Ula itashet Elohim lanu v'lo noveh. Maybe he'll save us. V'emru ish el re'eu l'chuv v'napil ha'gorolot. Then they say, let's throw lots. Right? What does this remind you of?
Purim.
Purim and? Where do we have lots on Yom Kippur? Sar l'azazel. Right? Purim is called Purim, right? Because it's the lots. The Hasidim say, Yom Kippur is Kippurim. It's like the lots. So this story, that's not an accident. So they throw lots. Let's see where the dice rolls. V'yapilu gorlot, v'yapola goral, Yonah. Right? And it falls on Yonah. Yonah's the guy. He's got to save them. Like, who are, what's going on? So Vayom Alehim, he says, Ivri Anochi. He has not lost his relationship with God. He just doesn't want to fulfill God's mission. Right? It's interesting. You don't always have to agree with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Sometimes the Jews roll. Elie Wiesel writes about this extensively. I don't always agree with what he writes, but, you know, he says that after the Holocaust, a Jew in the world after the Holocaust can no longer, right? He can deny God, or he can affirm God, right? But he can no longer ignore God. So Yonah's not ignoring God. He didn't just make the storm. He made the ocean. What'd you do? Obviously, you're the reason this is going on. You're from God, you know. They somehow understood that he's running away from God. Because he tells them. What can we do? She says, oh, no problem, throw me overboard. Sounds suspiciously like a suicidal attempt to me. Like, that shouldn't be. Well, you're a Navi. And I'm reading the story of the Navi, and he's on the boat, and there's a storm. And the non-Jewish sailors, Vinny the Italian says, this is because of your God. What should we do? You're a prophet. So what do you say if you're the prophet? You say, okay, fine. Anos Dominos Sanctimos, like, that's what you do. You're a Navi. You start davening. No, throw me overboard. He doesn't want to live. Why doesn't Yonah want to live? Maybe he doesn't want to live in a world that sees Nineveh do tshuva. That's interesting. And what does this have to do with Yom Kippur? Okay. So what is this? What's going on here? Why are there no Jews? Why does Yonah want to destroy himself? Right? Then it gets really interesting. So you remember last time we had a shiur and we talked about Agadata, and I said there's always one unique factor that usually allows you to unlock the story, okay? So I think that's true for stories in general. I think Chazal in the Agadot, you know what I'm talking about? When I said like Miriam Bat Betzalim, like that's great, or Shimon Bar Yochai seeing and burning people, you know what I'm talking about? A nod of the head would mean that you're, yeah right, okay, right? So I think that's true in general. You can see this in a lot of places. In Tanakh, this is a good example. What is the obvious symbol here? What does everybody think about when they think of Yonah?
The fish.
Now let's think about this. What's with the fish? Yonah runs away from God. God says, nope, I don't think so. Right? Now, it's interesting. Where is Yonah supposed to go? He's supposed to go to Nineveh. Now, you can look this up online. Ancient cities had cuneiform symbols. Like, if you go to Europe and you enter, like, the old fortresses or castles in Europe, you'll see, like, a shield, a cuneiform symbol. There's actually one by Shariafo above the gate. That was the symbol of the city. Okay? Do you know what the symbol of the ancient city of Nineveh in southern Iraq and Assyria was?
Big fish.
It was a fish. In fact, there are those who suggest that Nineveh is actually the two words, Neveh Nuna, which means the city of the fish. And there are different theories as to why that is. One most obvious possibility is they weren't far from Nahr Prat and the Euphrates. They were fishermen. Interesting, right? Okay. There's a word that gets used here, okay, that is very rare, and it appears four times in Sefer Yonah, and that's the word Vayiman. Now, what does the word Vayiman mean? One understanding is it means to prepare. Hashem prepared. Hashem prepared this fish, and the Medrash goes bananas. This fish was prepared from the dawn of creation. It was swimming around in the great darkness, right? Okay? So, Hashem prepared a fish. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Yonah jumps in the sea. Hashem says, no, you don't. And he sends a big fish. And the big fish swallows Yonah. And Yonah's now stuck in the belly of the fish for 3 days. And basically, they're having a fishing fight. Okay? You ever see 2 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, and they're fighting with each other, and neither one wants to give in? You know, the girl who has the tantrum is like, no. Right? You'll wait. You'll have children. They'll get into a fight. Right? And they'll argue with each other. And I'll say, okay, who's going to say I'm sorry first? Come on, David, say I'm sorry. Right? Somebody has to give in. So that's what's going on here. Yonah's in the belly of the fish. Hashem says, okay, you own the fish. Now Yonah's a Navi. He knows what he has to do. What do you have to do to get out of the fish?
You
got to daven. Got to tshuva, got to daven. There's a tefillah of Yonah and the fish. That's less a part of our... People don't talk about that because that takes work to remember, right? But okay, fine. Right? So Yonah knows. Does Yonah daven? No, he doesn't daven. I'm not going to daven. I'm not going to admit I'm wrong. I'm not going to ask you. I want to die. I don't want to get out of here. Hashem says, fine. Okay. You stay in the fish. 1 day, 2 days, third day, Yonah finally gives in. Now, why does Yonah give in?
Because
he's in the belly of a fish. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, how horrible it must have been in. Anybody here ever get stuck in a small space, ever? Pardon?
Anyone get stuck in a fish?
No. Right? Okay. Anybody been stuck in a small place, you got stuck in an elevator, or you were in a fire drill and you get stuck, right? It's very uncomfortable. A little scary. People get claustrophobic because it's brain sex. 3 days in a fish? There was no palace inside the fish. You're living with the fish's vomit. It's disgusting. What is that about? Why does Hashem... You have a question? Yeah?
How
How come everyone calls the story Yonah and the whale?
Oh, why? As opposed to a fish?
A dog, yeah.
Oh, because it's a big enough fish to hold a guy, they figure it's a whale. That's my theory. I don't know. Whatever. I actually segue for a story that just reminded me of that has nothing to do with Ashir. This summer, I went with Rav Judah. We went out to California because he had a few friends and he wants to get them involved. And I don't know whatever was going on in his head. And so we did this 2 or 3 days in Big Sur. Well, you never know what's going on in Judah. You just run with it because it's always going to be good, right?
True.
So we went to Big Sur. We were supposed to go to Yosemite, but there was this big fire and they closed Yosemite. Is he closed Yosemite? Okay. So I said, okay, I guess we're not going to Yosemite. So he came up with another solution and we went to Big Sur. Like, you didn't take that into account. Let's plan a trip to Yosemite. What if we do if they close Yosemite? They'd look at you like, okay, just go away, right? But that's what happened. So we went to Big Sur and he was looking for all these activities like to do because his original plan got messed up. And he had planned this rafting, but it was in Yosemite, couldn't do rafting. So he found this guy who takes you out on a boat in, I forget the name of the bay, but it's near there, right? And you go whale watching. He said, we're going whale watching. And I'm like, we're going to sit on a boat and watch for whales? It just doesn't sound to me like productive use of time. But okay. So you get on this boat. It's actually not a simple experience because there's high seas. And he tells you, you sit on this bench because you got to be outside. And there's a railing. Get a hold of the railing. He says, don't let go. One of the guys, because they're Jews, what happens if I let go? He goes, you're going to get wet, and we might not find you. Don't let go, right? So wearing life jackets very carefully, and the boat goes like this, and you're there. And then at some point, we start to see whales. Unbelievable. You see these spouts, and at one point, this whale comes up. It was unbelievable. Largest fish I've ever seen in my life. It was like a month ago. And then it comes down with its tail. You ever see these pictures? I'll send you a video if you want. Lo yuman! And everybody's like, oh! Right? And of course, everybody has the same thought. So, if that massive fish actually decides to swim under our boat and does that, we're toast, right? But we're men, so we don't admit that we're not terrified. So it's like, oh, this is fun whale watching. That's why they say whale, because it's a gazunta fish, right? Okay? What does this have to do with Yom Kippur? What does it, by the way, I'm waiting for someone to come up with the minhag to break the fast Matzah Yom Kippur with herring. Fish. But nobody does. Right? Oh, so, it's an idea. Crackers and herring. Have herring right after a fast. See what happens. You'll know I know what it is. Anyway, right? So, what's the tzitzit of the fish? Why is the fish? And this isn't just a fish. This fish is prepared from the dawn of creation. Okay. So, Yonah davens. So Hashem says, okay, I win. And he spews him out on land. What does Yonah do? He's got a mission. Now he goes to Nineveh. Okay? And he walks the length and the breadth of the city of Nineveh. Okay? And he calls out. Right? Oh, Darbaim Yom Va'ir Ne'apachet. 40 days, the whole city's going to be destroyed. Okay? So what happens? They do tshuva. Right? We know the story. They do tshuva. Now, before we get to the tshuva, to the fact that this entire city of 120,000 people, that it takes a whole day to walk back and forth, so it's a big city, right? Before we talk about their tshuva, I want you to think about this for a minute. Here's a guy. He's just spent 3 days in the belly of a fish. He's thrown up. He's literally vomit. He's vomited up on the shore. He goes straight to Nineveh. He must stink. He must look horrendous. I remember once, I was on the New York City subway. I get off the subway. I come off the subway. And I go up at Columbus Circle, 59th Street, if you know where that is. Right? And I come out of the subway. And there's a guy. And he's wearing a suit. He's got a tie, jacket, whatever. He goes, look, look. Right? The guy in his suit says, I said, look where? Look where? Right? He goes, it's coming. Right? And I go, what's coming? Whatever. And then I look at the guy. And I look down, he's got no shoes on, and I realize he's wacko. He's got a sign next to him, the destruction is coming, the Messiah is coming, Anach Vesis, what was coming. And everybody came on the subway was looking for me or whatever, and then we realized this guy's wacko. Okay, so Yonah comes, he says, do tshuva! So people say, what? What? Then they take a look at him, he stinks. He's been in the belly of a fish for 3 days. They listen to him? That's ridiculous! Not only do they listen to him, but the king orders everybody to put on sackcloth, right? It was a ridiculous tshuva. Okay, the Medrash says that he makes, and if you look at the psukim, right? Let me see if I can find this. right? In 40 days the city will be destroyed. All of a sudden, all the atheists believe in God. Now, doesn't that seem to you a little ridiculous? Can you imagine we put Rabbi Aaron in the Parat Yosef dorm fridge, and we leave him there for 3 days. Then we take him out, and we give him a bathrobe, right? We pour some sour milk on him, whatever. And he walks through, and he goes to Tel Aviv. Goes to Haifa, goes to New York City, and he's walking through the streets. He says, in 40 days, the city's been destroyed. So the mayor right away says, oh my God, okay, everybody, we're doing tshuva. That's ridiculous, right? They call for a fast. And they wear sackcloth, the old and the young. The children had to fast, right? The king of Nineveh hears about this. So, like, can you imagine President Trump? He comes out of the white, he says, okay, we got to do tshuva. It's ridiculous. Right? Right? So he cries out and he puts on sackcloth and he calls out saying, this was a fanatical tshuva. Not just that the people are going to fast, not just that the children, the animals are going to fast. They're going to feed the animals. The animals are going to do tshuva. This is ridiculous. What on earth does this have to do with Yom Kippur? Right? And if you read the Medrash, by the way, the Medrash has a field day. You know, people suddenly realize that if they don't do tshuva, if they don't repent, if they don't mend their evil ways, so they would find a tower that was built with stolen beams, and they would pull the beams out to return them to their owners, even though the whole tower would crash. It was a fanatical tshuva. Right? They would take away the mothers from the calves because they were stolen. It was a cruel tshuva. This isn't tshuva the way we know tshuva. It's almost as though Yonah sees this, and he basically says he's right. Yonah's right. This is ridiculous. This is not real tshuva. Okay. Mi yodea. Who knows what will be? Now, by the way, this is interesting. God sees. What does God not do? It doesn't say God hears. Now, without getting too deep into the difference between Shmiya and Ria, Shema Yisrael, right? Okay? But one wonders if this is an allusion to the fact that he sees their actions even though he knows they're not real. Okay, right? What does that obviously remind you? I'll read the passage again.
From
Chet
HaEgel.
Hashem is going to destroy the Jewish people. They repent. Or Moshe repents with them. And we're forgiven somehow. And that's one of the themes in Yom Kippur. So the people of Nineveh are forgiven. They were almost going to be destroyed. They don't get destroyed. So Yonah's really angry. He's really upset. He falls into a deep darkness. Because the evil, can you imagine, it's 1942, and you're a Navi, and God comes to you and says, I want you to go to Berlin, and I want you to tell the people of Germany to repent, because Germany's going to be destroyed. Let's say you're a Navi, and you see what's going to happen. You see it's coming. First the British are going to bomb Dresden, they're going to bomb Berlin. Germany was destroyed by the end of World War II. So you don't want to go. So you end up in a fish, you go. And you walk up and through Berlin, 40 days you're going to be destroyed. People start freaking out, oh my God, the Jewish God, we're in trouble. So they start doing tshuva. Gets to Adolf Hitler, Eichmann, Göring, Himmler, and they all start doing tshuva. They just give back everything they stole, or whatever. And Hashem says, okay, I forgive them. And you're a Navi, and you've seen the evil that they've done. You're beside yourself. This is exactly why I ran away. I know. I knew you were going to forgive them. By the way, Chazal have a whole take on this because Yonah's a Navi. Now we know what happens with Nineveh some 40 years later. They destroy the 10 tribes. They wipe out the Jewish people. They destroy the city of Shomron. They burn almost everything to the ground. They exile the 10 tribes, scatter them. To this day, we don't really have the tribes back the way they were. The horrors that they visited upon the Jewish people, So Yonah doesn't want to save them. Here Yonah makes it very clear. I'd rather die. Yonah says, I would rather not live in a world where the wicked of Nineveh prosper and the Jewish people are destroyed. I don't want to live in that world. And I can understand that. So there's one last vignette. Right? There's actually a Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is fascinating. Gemara. The Gemara says like this. This is in Daf. Kuf Yud Aleph at the bottom. I'm an Aleph. 111. Sanhedrin. Tanya is a bright sun. Right? Erech HaPayim. Okay? So, Pasuk here says Erech HaPayim, and the Pasuk in Shmot and Lamed Bet says Erech HaPayim. That Hashem is long, long patient. That's one way of saying that. Right? Right? Titanya Kshala Moshe Lamarom. Mitzaol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyoshev V'Kotev Erech HaPayim. Moshe went up to heaven, and he sees God is writing in the Torah. He's writing the words of the Torah. And he's just up to writing down the words Erech HaPayim. Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed V'Emet. Erech HaPayim is the phrase that is used representing God's everlasting mercy. Long, even though people sin, they can always do tshuva. They can always repent, right? Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, Erech HaPayim latzadikim. Who is this, you know, long-suffering mercy that you're willing to forgive? Is that for the righteous? Amar lo, Hashem says to him, af l'rasha'im, even to the wicked. Amar le rasha'im yovedu. So the pasuk says the wicked should be destroyed. This is Yonah's problem. At the beginning of Sanhedrin, in Davav, there's a whole discussion about the difference between Aaron and Moshe, and it says that Moshe's philosophy was Yikov Adin at Tahar. You remember this? Let justice split through the mountains. Aaron is the one who's Rodef Shalom. Moshe is the uncompromising. And Yonah seems to fit. Yonah is Ben Amitai. Amitai is one of the names of Moshe Rabbeinu. Emet. Moshe Emet v'Torato Emet. That's why my grandson's name Amitai. He was born in Zionada. Right? Right? So Moshe is... Yonah is having this struggle. How can we live in a world where the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? What do we call that? What's the phrase? Tzadik ve'ralo. Why do bad things happen to good people? This is a fundamental question. I'm going for Hashem, to Seres Mitzvah, Yom Kippur, want to be forgiven, right? One more detail, and then we can put this all together. There's one little last vignette, one little last story in Sefer Yonah, and the problem with this story is it doesn't make any sense. Okay? So, Hashem prepares, Vayiman, that same word, a bush, a kikayon. Rabbis have a field that just grew up overnight. It was unbelievable. Right? Maybe Yonah finds it. Now, you've been in the desert. Remember those retreats? Right? The silent retreat, right? So you go into the desert. If it's a hot day and you can find one of those low-hanging kikayons, you can actually still see them. Right? They're low-hanging trees. You sit in there. So it's totally different. You know these rishatot, these like nets that they have that you sit underneath in the summer? You know what I'm talking about? We have one on the roof. Do you know why those are the way they are? It's very interesting. There's a whole science behind this. Hot air rises, correct? So the way these are made is patterned after a kikayon. It's mistakenly called a bush. It's actually a small tree, right? And the branches and leaves are very tight together, but there's little pockets of air. So the hot air rises, and it can push its way through. And as it comes up, it creates a vacuum, right? So more air comes in. Now the air down below is cooler. So it's a natural air conditioning system. When you sit under a kikayon, it's not just that it's cooler because it's in the shade, there's also a breeze. Even on a hot day, it's amazing, right? So Yonah finds this, it's a very hot day, right? And he's sitting under the kikayon, which God prepared. So at least there's something to thank God for. And then, Vayiman again, Hashem prepares, right, this worm, right? And the worm eats the kikayon dies. The bush dies. And then, Hashem prepares this hot wind, right? What do they call it in America? Santa Ana? We call it a sharav. Terrible. You ever been in a sharav? A real hot wind? It makes you want to pass out. It's unbelievable. It's like you're in the heat and all of a sudden there's hot wind coming at you. Remember in the old Pariah Safe dorms when you walk out, right? Yeah. Opposite those hot vents in the summer, like, kill you, right? Okay? Right? So finally, Yonah says to God, wait a second. I don't understand this. Yonah says, Vahikizruach Hashem is when the sun rises. Vayiman alakim ruach kadim. Hashem sort of has planned this easterly wind. Fatach Hashemesh al Rosh Yonah, and the sun beats down on Yonah. Vayitalaf, and he's fainting. Vayishal tafshol lamut. Vayomer tov moti mechayai. Better that I should die than that I should live. And finally, God gives the answer. Right? Vayomer Elohim el Yonah. Ha-hitev charalach al hakikayon. You're so upset over a bush. Vayomer hitev charali ad mavet. I'm upset about this bush. I could die from this bush. You gave me a bush. You took it away. Vastutzach, I want a bush back. Vayomer Hashem, atah chasta lakikayon. You cared so much about this bush, this tree. Asher lo amalta bo, you didn't work for it. Velo gidalto, you didn't grow it. Shebin laila hayav, bin laila avad. Overnight it was here and it was gone. It's nothing. Vani lo achus al Nineveh. I shouldn't care about the city of Nineveh, Iro gdola. I shouldn't care about a city of 120,000 people? Such a huge place? And the book of Yonah ends. And you're sitting there, it's Yom Kippur afternoon, you're like, huh? By the way, who's right? Yonah or God? I think Yonah's right. Yonah's upset about the bush because he needs the bush. In fact, the word chus is a language of mercy that implies need. Chasti, right? Yonah needs the bush, so he's upset the bush is gone. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need the city of Nineveh? Doesn't make any sense. Yonah's right. You don't need Nineveh. Let him go. They're just doing damage in the world. So what's going on? So in order to understand this, we have to understand the fish.
There's a pasuk in Chavakuk.
There's a pasuk. Perek Aleph in Chavakuk, pasuk. V'te'aseh adam kidgei hayam l'remes lo moshel bo. Right? Look at the pasuk before this. Right? Lama tabit bogdim tacharish bevala rasha tzadik mimenu. Right? Which is translated, why do you look upon them that are treacherous when the wicked devours the man that's more righteous than he is? Right? Why is life like a fish? Now, what does it mean? What is a fish? You ever look at fish in the water? You know, you go, you ever see like those cold fish in the ponds? Right? They don't know where they're going. You ever watch a fish in the water? It's going this way and that way and this way and that way. The fish in Judaism in Chavakuk represents the fact that sometimes it seems as though we don't know where we're going. There's no purpose. There's no rhyme or reason. That's Yonah's issue. Yonah feels life is like a fish. There's no point. If the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer, then what's the point? That's the question of Yom Kippur. You get a person who says, I'm going to do tshuva and I'm going to fast. There's a risk on Yom Kippur. Because sometimes a person thinks, if I do tshuva, if I fast, if I do everything I'm supposed to do and I do it right, then I'll have a good year. But we know that's ridiculous. You understand that that's ridiculous. There is no guarantee that just because you fast, and just because you do tshuva, and just because you did everything you're supposed to do during a Seder Tshuva on Yom Kippur, that you're going to have a better year. Well, you don't think there are people who fast and tzaddikim and they suffer? And you don't think there are people who eat pork sandwiches on Yom Kippur and they have a great year and they prosper? So then what's the point? What's the rhyme or reason? You know what Kosh Baruch Hu tells Yonah? He says, you're making a mistake. If there's a city of 120,000 people in this world, then they have a purpose. You would never imagine that a worm has a purpose. But that worm is what destroyed that bush. You might not even imagine that a bush. You ever go to the desert, you see bushes all over, you don't think a bush has a purpose. But if you're under that bush has a purpose. Hashem knows that there's a purpose to everything. There's a purpose to everything I do. There's a purpose to every human being. There's a purpose to every city and every person and every war and every suffering. We can't understand it. And our job is not necessarily to try. Yonah is being taught the message of Yom Kippur is that you should care. You should care about a bush. You should care about a worm. And you should certainly care about a city of wicked people like Nineveh. You've forgotten where you come from. You're descended from Avram Avinu, who cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over Sodom. And that is Yom Kippur. Isn't it interesting that right after Yom Kippur, we enter the Sukkah, the Kikayon? and we finish Sukkot with Shmini Atzeret, which is the day when 70 sacrifices are offered, if you remember, which represents judgment for the whole world. Because the goal of Yom Kippur is not just the Jewish people. The goal of Yom Kippur, that there will be a time when this place will be a place where people can tap into, can rediscover what it is we could want in this world, the whole world. So I think maybe the message of Yonah, and this is my idea, it's Baruch Sturman's idea, I think maybe the message, Dr. Baruch Sturman wrote, the message of Yonah is, and therefore the message of Yom Kippur is, that you have two choices in this world. You could think nothing matters, or you could think everything matters. Right? If there is no God, then it's all random. Nothing really matters. And even the things that matter, they only matter because I think they matter. It's because I like them to matter, which means they don't really matter. But if Hashem is the source of everything, then everything matters. And the difference between living a meaningful life and a random life is that simple idea. Once you can tap into the idea that everything matters and everything has meaning, I don't need to know what that meaning is. I don't claim to understand why there was a Holocaust. I certainly don't understand why sometimes good people seem to suffer, and there are many of those, unfortunately. But I do believe that there's a bigger picture. And if you believe that you want to be a part of that bigger picture, then you'll live a meaningful life. That's the message of Sefer Yonah. Food for thought? Food for thought. Questions? Hang on 1 second.